Item number 10, resolution authorizing and directing the employee benefits director in conjunction with the employee benefits work group to examine the potential benefits from transferring employees and retirees from the current self-funded traditional health care plan coverage to a coverage provided under the Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act.
Mr. Henchick, I mean, do you want to speak to this, and then is it okay if he speaks, or do you want to? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Matt Henchick, the Employee Benefits Administrator. Just a couple points I'd like to raise with regard to this resolution. Much of the work we're going to be doing as part of our comprehensive review for compliance with the Affordable Care Act, for example, assessing the potential for the play or pay penalty underneath the Act is something that's already in progress in conjunction with DAS Fiscal and something that we'll be reporting on in the future regardless, and something that we would frankly have to do as part of our annual budget exercises and evaluation of options for 2014. Concern that I have with this is the in regards to the May time frame, and frankly the question I have is whether or not an exchange will exist in time for me to report on it. The just recently as this Friday, we got guidance from the Department of Labor indicating that they won't even be providing guidance on how to notify employees of their rights to access an exchange until the fall of this year. So to some extent, I'd be able to report on just some general financials, some options, what some of the risks and potential employment issues are, but I won't be able to walk through the how an employee would engage the exchange or what their options would look like underneath it.
Do you think it's best then to take that date out completely or put a different date in? What would be your recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, it would ultimately depend on the scope of what you want me to report. If you want a full comprehensive report, I would suggest pushing it out at least one cycle, possibly further, just to get a better sense of what the exchanges are going to look like. If you're more interested in the general question, that's something that we could do.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I probably made a small mistake there that I should have taken you up at the first opportunity to speak to this item to give it a proper introduction so we're all familiar with what this means. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, as abbreviated in this resolution as PPAC, we're all familiar with as Obamacare, it calls for these health care exchanges to be operational by 2014. As it stands, employers will no longer have to provide their own health care for employees. They will have the option of instead paying a fee to the government and participating in those health care exchanges. If Milwaukee County as an employer did the research and found it to be verifiably beneficial to participate in these exchanges, we could save as much as $103.5 million, which would then be used to, of course, help subsidize either other employee health care in other ways or to support other county programs such as mental health. There are two things that approval of this resolution would do. The first is allow the work group to explore the opportunities. I understand Mr. Henchick just testified that they are looking into this, but this would make the direction formal. And second, it would request that the committee, that this committee be informed of the findings when that research is done. The reason that I think that it's imperative to consider passing this item now rather than postponing is because at least the rules of those exchanges will be available beginning in March, and since we don't meet again until after those rules will most likely be available and our next full board meeting to approve a resolution such as this would be later as well, it would only make sense to make sure that we have the formal directive on file for the work group to explore the opportunities and be able to report back to this committee. I completely understand Mr. Hanchuk's concern about the timeline and would move to amend this resolution on line 64 to change the date of an initial report to this committee from May 1st, 2013 to August 10th, 2013, which would ensure that before we really get started into our own budgeting season on the board here, that we would have some kind of an update, at least within the scope of what the law would allow Mr. Hanchick and the Employee Benefits Work Group to provide.
So we have that amendment? Have that written? I mean, you made note of the author's amendment?
Yes. I have that on line 67. We will change the date from May 1st, 2013 to August 10th.
Correct. And that is a formal motion for amendment.
Okay. Supervisor Jurczyk and Supervisor Roman West.
Mr. Hanchek, did Supervisor Alexander discuss this with you?
No, we haven't spoken directly about it yet.
Do we know if the state has made a final decision yet on going into, doing an exchange?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the last that I've seen on it is that the state was deferring to the federal government to create the exchange, that they were not pursuing it. I haven't seen an update since then.
Right. That's basically my information, but I don't know that the deadline has completely expired on that decision. Do you know if that's correct?
I do not know.
I mean, and I just read in the paper this week that they're still coming out with definitions under the Act. There was an article today in the paper that they're going to base health care costs on individuals rather than family under the Act. So, this thing is really still very much in motion. I do wish Supervisor Alexander would have talked to Mr. Hanchek before you prepare a resolution like this. Certainly, it would be useful to talk to committee members. The work group, I've had excellent regard for the work group. They understand their mission, if you will, and I think do try to find cost-saving opportunities. But this Patient Protection Affordable Care Act is still so much in motion. To create a policy statement at this time, I think, is very premature. I think, we need to understand first what our state government is doing, what the implications may be for county government, all kinds of questions. So I am not inclined to support this at this time. Thank you.
Supervisor Romo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Jurczyk covered a lot of what I was going to say, but in addition to that, I also feel that something on this amendment is obviously going to come back, something that Mr. Hatch said that they're looking at. I heard talk during the budget regarding this item and where it kind of leads us. And so, obviously, they're saving the millions of dollars. It will come back before the committee. And I'm expecting there'll be some type of line item in the budget regarding regarding this, depending on which way we decide to go. I think there's a really fine line between legislating and micromanaging, and I just worry that this is a little bit over the top. This is something that could have been asked for during committee verbally versus having a resolution and legislating it. I just don't feel like this is something that we should be legislating. Because, again, Mr. Hatchett just said that this is definitely on the radar, something that's been discussed by the work group. And this is one of, in my opinion, this is the employee benefits work group is one of the better work groups that we have in high functioning. So, again, I'm not inclined to support a resolution that's legislating that we do this. I would have preferred to see it come as a request during committee meeting. And obviously, I would have liked for a conversation to have taken place between the supervisor and the
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, admittedly, I don't profess to understand how the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act very well. Perhaps you could help me with something. The $2,000 assessment per employee, that's assessed to employers if they choose not to provide health care, right? But does that provide them with access to the exchange? Does it just allow them to tap into the exchange, or does it actually pay for their health care? That can't possibly be their premium or that can't possibly pay for their coverage.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the penalty that Supervisor Lipscomb's referring to is generally referred to as the play or pay penalty. And what it is it's a tax or a surcharge placed on employers who, one, choose not to offer coverage to any full-time employee as the federal government defines it, and two, that employee seeks coverage through the exchange and qualifies for a subsidy based on his or her income for their premiums in that exchange. The $2,000 is a tax to the federal government. It's not a payment of premiums. The employees would still have to pay for whatever the premiums were in the exchange, to whatever extent that we as an employer didn't offer any sort of subsidy or financial assistance.
Okay. I appreciate that. So I did at least understand that element of it. It's, I guess to me, when I first saw this and it came up, under suspension of the rules, and I had 2 minutes to look at it before voting that I didn't want to vote on it. It just seems so disingenuous to purport the potential savings when it's essentially analogous to, last year had we decided to just not offer any coverage to our employees, we could save $110 million.
Right.
Or more. Or if we just wanted to offer really crappy coverage, we could save 50 or 70 or pick an arbitrary amount up to the full amount that we pay for coverage. That is the essence of what this is suggesting. You can save as much as you're willing to not provide coverage. That option was available to you before the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, but exercising that option is the opposite of the spirit of the of the act, which is that we would like more people to have better coverage. So let's just call it what it is. That is just such a disingenuous claim to have been made that this is a great opportunity. Look at this. Look at how much you can save if you want to be the worst public employer in the country. You could offer no coverage and shift all your employees into an exchange that we don't even know what shape or form it's going to take. There's no way I'm voting for that. I appreciate that the work group is going to try to understand how the exchanges are going to work and what the effects would be and all that, and certainly that analysis has to happen. But I'm not going to vote for this under some sham promise or expectation that this is it. This is how we're going to fix our finances, because we're just going to not offer coverage. Let's be real.
We have a list here. So Supervisor Alexander, Johnson, Haas, and Stanford.
Oh. Okay.
Supervisor Alexander?
I yield until the end on this.
Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to a housekeeping matter, I want to ask staff if an author asks for an amendment, does that have to be voted on? Once the resolution.
We should be speaking on the amendment.
So, once a motion for approval has occurred, I'm trying to understand.
Right now, we have the amendment that is before us.
Okay. Once the amendment is offered by the author, then it has to be voted. If she had independently said that I'm going to change this and change it, we would not have had to vote on it. I'm asking with respect to procedure. That's why I said housekeeping.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, once the resolution had been referred by the chairwoman's office, it is then now in front of the committee, and any changes to it would require amendment that is voted on by the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Haas.
I would not be speaking of the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead. We're sort of having a wide-ranging discussion on the whole topic at this point, so we'll just keep rolling.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too felt that procedurally and conceptually it's early yet as we don't yet know the form that the Affordable Care Act will take, as the state has deferred to the federal government on implementing it. That is a short summation of my statement. I, too, feel it is premature at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do you think this is appropriate to dedicate the time to study this?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, I think it's absolutely appropriate and prudent to study it and to evaluate it as one option among many. To clarify one of my prior statements, the exchanges themselves are basically just a vehicle to provide access to buy health care coverage. That doesn't mean it's an all-or-nothing proposition for Milwaukee County. It very well may be a worthwhile option or endeavor to look at steering employees to an exchange with some financial support or not. But frankly, we won't know until we've looked at it. I think I would be failing in my job if I didn't at least present it as an option. That doesn't mean I'm in a position at this point to say whether or not it would be a good idea, but I don't think there's a harm in us reviewing it and looking at it. My concern is primarily one of timing and what information is going to be available to me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a quick question of Mr. Hanchick, if I may. Whom do you directly report to, sir?
Chairman, supervisors, I report to the Director of Human Resources, Kerry Mitchell.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, in response to questions from other members of this committee that I hadn't spoken with Mr. Hanchak, I will cede that I did not. However, I did speak directly with the Director of Human Resources, to whom he reports, and received what could have been considered the equivalent of not only a green light to move forward with this resolution, but the question about the timeline and dating, which is why you probably all saw me nodding my head at Mr. Hanchak when he brought up the timeline, because I already knew that that was a request from Human Resources and I had already prearranged and agreed to offer an amendment to my own resolution. Second, I recall times in the past on this committee where issues have been brought up that were germane to the topic at hand, and some of us have made suggestions for reports or studies or research to be done or made, and members of the committee have said, well, I'd rather see that on paper in a resolution. So I find it rather disingenuous to say that I was out of line in any respect or to imply such by writing a resolution, putting such a complicated topic on paper for research for everybody to look at before the meeting today, ask questions of me if they had any, and move forward with the possibility of research, which that's all this would authorize, which they're doing anyway. It just backs up what they state that they're already doing. And to instead say that this should be unwritten and some sort of a verbal direction and that that might be better. Further, the notion that it could be disingenuous to purport potential savings, I guess I would rebut that with the notion that if there are savings expected, number one, it is still up to this committee in the budget session and the full board to decide whether or not we would move on those. Number two, as identified in the whereas clauses of the resolution itself, it would be up for discussion on how those savings were applied. As Mr. Hanchak just admitted, if there were savings to be recognized and the board did decide to go in that direction of offering one of a wide variety of options incorporated with the healthcare exchanges, we could then supplement, for example, the same way that we currently fund the health savings accounts. For all we know, maybe that could be doubled to employees because something better than what we have now could be offered. But we're not going to have the proper leeway to explore this and implement it starting January 1st of next year if by the time we hit budget, when that budget is in our hands, we don't know what all of our options are. And if we wait until May or June to make the direction to the Employee Benefits Work Group to study this, there's a very good chance they may say, well, we're working on a few other projects right now and we've looked into it, but I don't think we'll have time to answer your questions in time for budget. So all I'm trying to do is pave the way for ease later on in all of us understanding what all of our options are and placing the appropriate votes at that time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So we have an amendment before us.
Mm-hmm.
The amendment is just to change the date from May 1st to August 10th.
And that was moved by Supervisor Alexander, correct?
It was.
So we can, if there's no further discussion, we can take the roll on the motion of the amendment, and then we'll have the resolution as amended if it passes, and then we can get a motion on the entire resolution, pending how this works out. So let's take the roll on the motion of changing the date from May 1st to August 10th.
On the amendment, Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Colonel West?
Aye.
Thursday?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Scamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. So
amendment
now
has been approved 9-0.
So now we have the resolution as amended. Supervisor Roman West?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to lay this item over to the call of the chair. I don't believe that first of all, I heard Mr. Hanchick clearly say that he is on top of this and that it is going to be a focus of the work group. So I believe this is a little unnecessary at this point. If at some point in the future it becomes necessary, then we have the resolution on file, and that can be the determination of the chairs of the Finance and Audit Committee.
So we have a motion to lay this over to the call of the chair. Is there any further discussion? If not, would you take the roll on the motion?
Supervisor Haas?
Aye. Schmidt?
Aye.
Colonel West?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
No.
Scamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to lay over to the call of the chair approved 8-1.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hanchick.